This month, the Australian government has officially enlisted the koala as endangered along much of Australia's east coast, such as in Queensland, New South Wales and the ACT. New South Wales has faced a 41% drop of koalas, according to a report from the Australian Koala Foundation released in September. The Wire's contributors Justina Basta and Eamon Snow from FBI Radio ask urban sustainability campaigner from the Total Environment Centre, Sol Dean, what were some of the reasons for a decline in koalas.
I guess we see three or four sort of big pressures on koalas. One of them is climate change, and so we do see koalas starting to disappear from habitats that they used to be, more out in western New South Wales, you know, around the Warren Bungles in particular, after big bushfires. They don't seem to have recolonised those areas. But when we're also looking down around the coast, around where we are, you know, in, say, Sydney and also up the north coast, we get different drivers, you know, that are pushing koala numbers down. And obviously on the north coast, it's about, you know, forestry and harvesting trees and so on. And also when we're looking down around the central coast and a bit further down and around Sydney, it's actually about property development and the removal of habitat and trees in order to create property estates, urbanisation and things like that.
One of the main focuses of your campaign, which is Save Sydney's Koalas, has been maintaining koala corridors that go between the Georges River and the Nepean River in southwest Sydney. Could you please explain to our listeners what these koala corridors are and the importance they play in the survival of koalas?
It's really important. So in terms of the conservation sort of priorities, things are slightly changing. Historically, it's been about sort of, you know, ensuring that sort of really important habitats and really large areas were conserved, and that's still really important. But increasingly, we see that it's actually really important that all these areas are connected and that they have connections between them in the same way that, you know, we need to be connected to other towns and cities and all that sort of stuff. And so we need it also for our biodiversity. And the reason is, and especially in a changing climate, it becomes really important, is one area starts to change, or if one area suffers a massive bushfire or something, we need animals and, you know, flora and fauna to be able to move to another area, and then the ability to recolonize or to actually just keep on moving into an area that becomes more suitable.
By changing the status of koalas to endangered, are there any added protections or laws that come into effect by the federal government?
Yep. So, I mean, the most important thing was that it was about 10 years ago that it was listed as vulnerable. So it just went from common to vulnerable. And then we have a sliding scale where you go from vulnerable to endangered to critically endangered and then to the status you don't want, obviously, which is extinct. And so there's a whole lot of extra protections that come with protecting koalas in this setting. And yeah, they're more stringent and it's harder to move into koala habitat and to do other developments in those areas. So they are important, but it's really important that those extra protections are enforced. And we don't want to just sort of, you know, record the demise of the koala by watching it sort of go down in these listing environments. We've got to make sure that the extra protections are enforced so that actually koalas are protected.
With this change, I mean, you said there that they need to be enforced. Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think that the change in status is going to be enough and that that's going to change the outcomes of koala populations?
Well, there needs to be a moment where people finally get that it's actually that this our most iconic animal, the animal that represents Australia right across the world, is actually seriously in danger, and therefore the political will has to follow it. For so long, it's sort of been a little bit, I think, of a disbelief that actually, you know, they're not really in trouble and, you know, is it so bad? And, you know, it's been slightly dismissive. But we know that if you don't, you lose them. I mean, we could see, obviously, you know, the Tasmanian tiger is a horrific example of, you know, basically a government arriving too late to stop basically an industry that was just trying to protect its own turf, in this case, sort of sheep. And therefore they're just being hunted out of existence. So you do have to have the political will and the realisation that this is serious, Mum. You know, we've actually got to, you know, pull our finger out and start realising that, you know, if we don't protect them, they don't just hang around just because, you know, they've always been there. No, things change and they actually do disappear.
Sol, and you've touched on this a bit in that you shouldn't be waiting till the last minute until it's too late. What more action from federal or state governments would you want to see in order to help essentially save the koalas?
Well, it's when you recognise that there's a habitat, you know, in our case, we've been really strongly focused on southwestern Sydney. When you see that there's a habitat that's expanding and increasing, which is what's happening in southwest Sydney, just south of Campbelltown, between Campbelltown and Wilton, you know, it's actually probably the last remaining sort of expanding colony in New South Wales. It's an incredibly good luck and good news story. You know, where we look at the really sad trajectory of koala populations right across New South Wales, and they're generally down.
That was urban sustainability campaigner from the Total Environment Centre, Sol Dean, speaking with The Wire's Justina Basta and Eamon Snow from FBI Radio in Sydney.